We're going to walk through this week and what Jesus Christ means to me and to you and to anybody. The Bible says anyone that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Isn't that a great, great message? It's inclusive. Anyone. Doesn't matter how old you are. In fact, there was a story in the Bible where Jesus gave this parable, this story about somebody that had been working for years and years, or all day, I should say. But we'll use the analogy. They've been in church for years and years. And then there was this one guy that just walked up right at the end of the day, or this one person that just walked up right at the end of their life. They got the same wage as a person that had been there all their life. And Jesus was saying, in the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter at what point you come into this kingdom. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't even matter how you were conceived as a baby, or it doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter what part of the world you grew up in. It doesn't matter. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because he loves us. God loves us. Because he loves us, he traversed and climbed and descended to find me and to find you. So that then, after he found us, he could extend himself and suffer and atone and substitute himself for me and you. In the place of our sin and our suffering, our abuse, our neglect, our sickness, illness, disease, and death. He substituted in place of our eternal hell and our self and our pride and our ego. He substituted in the midst of our loneliness and our depression, our fear, our lack of knowledge, our pain, and injustice. Why? Why did he do that? He did that so that we could know him. Because he loves us. That's what he did. Martin Smith, who was the lead singer of Delirious and just a great songwriter and worship leader, he wrote a song called Song of Solomon. And it goes like this. Over the mountains, over the sea, here you come running, my lover, to me. When I feel the cold of winter and this cloak of sadness, I need you. All the evil things that shake me, all the words that break me, I need you. Over the mountains, over the sea, here you come running, my lover, to me. Don't hide me from your presence. Pull me from your shadows. I need you. Beauty, wrap your arms around me. Sing your song of kindness. I need you. Over the mountains, over the sea, here you come running, my lover, to me. All through the valleys, through the dark of night, here you come running to hold me till it's light. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying, and it was the night the Bible says that he was betrayed. And at the conclusion of his prayer, which was this heavy, heartfelt prayer about what he was about to go through and to endure and to accomplish this amazing feat, he prayed the prayer in this Garden of Gethsemane, this grove of olive trees that to this day, there's still some of the trees that were there the day he prayed this prayer. There's a tree there that's almost 3,000 years old that's standing in the Garden of Gethsemane today. The night that Jesus was betrayed and sent to this judgment and execution, they came after him. There was a mob that came after him with clubs and swords. They had torches and they were going through the night and they found him. And the Bible says that Jesus did not fight, when they came to him. Instead, he went willingly. Matthew, the 26th chapter and the 55th verse. Then Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come to me with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you just arrest me in the temple? I've been there every day this week. You could have just arrested me in the temple." But he says in verse 56, this all is happening to fulfill the words of the prophet as recorded in the scripture. And at that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. So the mob takes him away from his friends, and his friends all leave him. He's by himself with this angry mob of Jewish leaders. And they drag him, or actually they don't drag because he walks willingly, but they're forcefully taking him down from the garden, down through the Kidron Valley, up the other side, through the gates of the city of Jerusalem, which is not a very long walk, probably took 15 minutes or so to walk down through that valley and up through the other side into Caiaphas's home, which was the religious leader of the day. As he walks through those doors, there's a ton of people in the room, and they're all just frothing at the mouth, you could say, to try and get rid of this guy who has been a thorn in their side for the last 3 years. He's confounded their wisdom. He has gone against the grain somewhat. He has never made a mistake, really. He's made them look dumb in a lot of ways. As they lead him before the religious leaders of the day, Matthew 26, 59, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" Verse 63 says it all. But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "You have said it. And in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. Some slapped him, jeering, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time?" And every time that they would come with an accusation or a spit in the face or hit him with their fists or jeer at him or mock him, Jesus always responded with humility. Never tried to defend himself. He never tried to make a name for himself or prove himself in front of these people. So then they lead him down to the Roman authority, who was Pilate. He was the governor of the region. They needed his help. The religious leaders knew they could not do this on their own because of their law, so they needed the Romans to step in and help finish off Jesus. And so they took him to Pilate in order for Pilate to just make a judgment and send him to his death. So they led him in front of Pilate, he doesn't even care about this. This is not his business, other than the fact that he's there trying to keep the peace, and he doesn't want there to be a big riot in Jerusalem. If there's a big riot and he doesn't hold the peaceful environment there, then he knows that Caesar is going to put judgment on him for not doing his job well. So Pilate's main goal here is just to keep the peace. And so they bring Jesus to him, and the leading priest and all of them try to make the case in front of Pilate, saying this man has done all this wrong. He's done all these things. When given the opportunity to plead his case to Pilate and say, "You know what? I don't know what they're talking about. I'm not here to do anything. Jesus does not plead his case to Pilate. When given the opportunity to give his side of the story and be released, Jesus traversed the temptation. He rejected the easy route. He knew at that moment in time that his job that day was far greater than his own personal well-being and health and contentment and peace. He knew that there would be people in 2015 that would have a desire to have a relationship with God, and that there was a price to pay. The bill was much too expensive for all of us to pay, because he loves us, because he loves you. He searched for you and found you. We see ourselves as separate from God often. You know, we look at ourselves, we look at our life, and we're not perfect. We have mistakes in our life and we do things that are not right. And so we see that separation, and sometimes it feels like it's just a long distance. You know, like we're a million miles away from God. Or sometimes we feel like there's a barrier, a wall that's in between us and God. We just can't seem to scale that wall or get beyond that wall. Sometimes that's the case, but many times it's not a distance or a tall barrier. Instead, we're actually hiding from God. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, when they fell and they sinned and they disobeyed God, the Bible says that God called out to them, "Adam, where are you?" "I'm hiding because I'm afraid." Some of us are actually pretty close to God, but we're hiding from him. But I'm here to tell you today, he looked for you and he found you. He knows where you are. Sometimes we don't feel him. We don't know. We don't understand where he is. I'm here to tell you today, God knows where you are and he loves you. "Don't you hear all these charges they're bringing against you?" Pilate demanded. But Jesus made no response to any of these charges, much to the governor's surprise. He's like, "Don't you understand who I am? Don't you understand that I have the ability to save your life?" And Jesus responded with nothing. Why? Why would he not say anything? Because he was looking for you. He was longing for you to be close to him. He knew the price that had to be paid. He went through this grueling process. Then Pilate's hands were tied in a way, and the crowd demanded that Jesus be crucified and that they release Barabbas. And so Jesus was on his way to be crucified, and he was given to the Roman soldiers to be beaten. It was the tradition of that day for that to happen. So they took him to the post, tied him to that post, and began to beat him. Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. They placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter, and they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then they spit on him and grabbed a stick and struck him in the head with it. And when they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. At each turn in the story, Jesus is making his way to you and me. He's searching in the valleys. He's ascending into the high mountains. He's going on the Texas State campus, right? He's going over on Broadway and 123. He's going down 80. He's going down 12. He's going down 35. "Where are you? Pete, Monica, Robin, Jessica. Where are you? Where are you? I'm looking for you." Where's James? Where's Sharon? I hear you whimpering. I know that you're hurt. I know that you're separated from me and afraid. You're afraid of life, and you're even afraid of me. But I'm looking for you because I love you. In the Old Testament, there's a beautiful passage of God speaking to us. I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but found him not. The watchmen found me as they went into the city that night. Have you seen whom my soul loves? Scarcely I passed them when I found him whom my soul loves. I held him and would not let him go. That's what's happening when Jesus is walking through Holy Week. All along the way, as he's carrying his cross, they came across a man named Simon who was from Cyrene, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross, and they went out to a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but he tasted it not. He refused to drink it. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. They sat around and kept guard as he hung there. Look at you now, they yelled at him. You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well, then if you're the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. So he's the king of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. But instead of answering those accusations that day, Jesus was actually answering us. He spoke to us as he willingly laid on that cross and extended his arms by himself. The Roman soldiers were not used to that. They were used to fighting each criminal as they executed them on the cross, forcing their arms down, forcing their legs down. But here was a man who willingly laid down his life, extended his arms, and extended his hands. Instead of answering the temptation to get up off of that cross and call legions of angels to come and save his physical body, he was speaking to us. His actions on the cross that day speak volumes to people all across the world, transcending every nation, every gender, every race and creed. Instead of answering his critics, his actions on the cross whisper across the timeline to you and I. As we cry, as we mourn, as we celebrate, as we suffer, the actions of Jesus on the cross that day whisper to you today. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. Beloved, he's my gazelle, young stag. Behold, he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, looking through the lattice. As you read the story of Jesus' sacrifice, we hear him call to us today. My beloved speaks to me. Arise, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs. The vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. The springtime is such a beautiful day. It's such a beautiful time to as you drive through the countryside at this season and you see the blue bonnets and the flowers and you see the beautiful blue sky and the vivid green leaves bursting forth out of the trees and the grass coming up and the just the rainbow of colors across all of the wildflowers in Texas, let it be a sign to you that winter never wins. That death never wins. That the sickness that you're in will not win. The heartache that you're experiencing will not win. The trouble that you're facing financially, it will not win. It is a season. It is a window of time, but it will not win. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for us. He was buried in a tomb, and he, on the third day, defeated the curse of sin and death. And he, because of that resurrection, now gives everyone in this place today a chance to partake in eternal life. Whosoever answers his whisper on the cross today, let's answer him today. Let's respond with our acceptance today. I have faith in you, Jesus. I have faith in you, Jesus. I put my trust and my hope in you alone. I cannot make this by myself. I cannot do this on my own. There's no way that I could learn enough or make enough or figure it out enough or try hard enough or link enough good days together enough to ever earn enough goodness to be in relationship with you. Instead of that, I will remember who you are. And on Wednesday night, we're gonna gather here and we're gonna take communion. Remember, through the celebration of his communion, the Eucharist, the power of his blood and his body. But today we can put our faith in him. We can put our hope in his resurrection. Faith, hope, and love. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I'm forever yours. Mountain high over valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours. Let's put the words up. I'm forever yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. So I am yours forever. that you are our Lord and Savior. We say that with our mouth, that you are our Lord and our Savior. We declare that this morning, Lord Jesus Christ. We look nowhere else, but we find you, and you're all we need, God. You are all we need, Jesus. You're all we need, Jesus. Why don't you, in your own way, in your own words, in your own mouth, declare today, Jesus, I am yours. Jesus, I am yours. I confess it today with my mouth. I believe in my heart today that everything you did, everything you accomplished, was not just some stagnant event that happened back 2,000 years ago, but it is fresh and real and new, and it transcends the calendar. It is fresh today and it is real today, Lord. We receive the work that you accomplished. We receive the fact that you led a perfect life and you willingly crossed over, went through, ascended, descended, searched high and low, near and far, to find each and every one of us today. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you say your own name right now? Robin. You looked for Robin. Here I am, Lord. Here you are, Lord. Let's stick together. Lord, I receive your forgiveness today. I receive your salvation today. Please forgive me of my sin. Please wash me and cleanse me in a way that only you can, eternally, perfectly, holy. Lord Jesus, we receive your forgiveness today. We receive your new life today. We receive it today. We receive you today, Jesus. You are our Savior and our Lord, and we love you, God. Thank you for your forgiveness today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, may we leave this place today with your face reflecting off of our face, with your forgiveness reflecting off every email that we send, every text, every phone call we make. God, may the forgiveness that we have received, God, be reflected in every conversation that we have, every action, every plan, every scheme, every contract that we sign. Lord, may the forgiveness and the new life that we have received in you, Lord, may it burst forth from our everyday existence. Lord, may it be a sign and a symbol to all we come in contact with. Lord, may we be a light to those who are living in darkness. Lord, as we go and we find people that are lost and confused and deceived and believing something that's not true or accurate about you, God, may we bring the truth to that situation. May we bring the truth that you love them and forgive them and receive them and that they can have new life through you, Jesus. May we be so bold as to not be ashamed of the gospel, but to speak it freely and truly wherever we go, however we act, whatever we do, whatever we see, whoever we come in contact with, whether they are famous, well-known, popular, rich, wealthy, Lord, whether they have prestige and honor and a place in life, or Lord, whether they're on the opposite side, whether they're lonely and heartbroken, mistaken, confused, depressed, angry, bitter, no matter who we see, no matter where we go, God, may we be the light of this generation. May we be the light of this region, bringing forth the truth of your name. Jesus, we pray. Everybody say amen. 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 Let's clap our hands to him right now. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, God, we love you. We honor you today. We love you, Jesus. Yes, we do. Yes, we do, Jesus.